Who is more to blame for parasocial relationships, content creators or viewers? Are your favorite content creators exploiting these parasocial relationships for their own monetary gain? And finally, just how dangerous can these parasocial relationships get? We'll be talking about all of that and more on today's episode of Borderline Inappropriate with Merle and Aria.
Welcome on back in, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Borderline Inappropriate, a podcast where we dive into taboo topics every week, uncomfortable topics like these ones. This is a very
meta.
It's a meta episode, and it's quite a, you know, it's one that's a little difficult to talk about
because
it's a lot of nuance. Well, a lot of the topics we discuss on this podcast have a lot of nuance, but this one in particular.
Yeah, it's like, let's make content for you while we talk about our parasocial relationship with exactly. you and whether or not it's healthy.
Yeah. It's a very interesting topic. I find parasocial relationships and content around it very, very fascinating. I think it'll be interesting to hear our perspective as a couple, because I think at times we've had, while other creators may have, while they know the experience of having these parasocial dynamics with their audience, we are sometimes viewed as an entity, the two of us. And so I think there's that interesting kind of wrinkle to the conversation when it comes to us.
But we also have our own personal.
Exactly. We have our own brands, too. So it's a whole muddied mess at times. And we're excited to unpack it with you all. But just know that despite what we may say in this episode, we do appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate your support.
I think it's good to just address the elephant in the room, honestly.
And that's, I guess, what we'll be doing this episode. Why don't we just dive right on in? And for anyone who doesn't know what a parasocial relationship is, Merle managed to find a pretty good definition.
By Clark Eliason.
A creator.
We'll link his video down below. It was really helpful. I watched a few videos and other people's takes. We'll link them.
And the title of this video is actually inspired by a Ludwig video. So he has a great piece as well about parasocial relationships, as well as I watched something by Dr. K. So there's a lot of great.
And Ludwig's video was based off another video.
Exactly.
We'll link all of them. We'll start with the one that Ludwig based his off of. That seems fair, right?
Yes.
So people have talked about this. A parasocial relationship is generally between a so-called consumer of content, whether that's an A-list celebrity or it's a Twitch streamer or a YouTuber, a public figure, could even be a politician, could be any public-facing person. And in these parasocial relationships, it's generally a one-sided relationship where the admiration or feelings on one end are not reciprocated.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So basically, it's like a follower, a fan, a supporter of one of these public figures, maybe, putting more into the relationship than is being than they're really getting, honestly. And it's something that's a very common phenomenon. I mean, I'm sure it's something that's honestly, social media has obviously pushed this like to crazy levels. But I mean,
there's always been. There's always been super fans.
We've talked about the Roman Empire before, but I'm sure there are a lot of supporters of Julius Caesar who are like, oh, he's my buddy.
Yeah.
And Julius Caesar's probably like, who is this guy?
Yeah, right. The guy that people are like showing up to every speech in the quarter, in the square.
I mean, like, I don't know if this is completely like you can equate it, but like you have someone like John Lennon assassinated by Mark David Chapman, who was who had listened to his music and probably built up some sort of, it's a very extreme example, but that's kind of where these things, as a lot of psychological phenomena, can go. They can go into very extreme places. Obviously, this is not, the Mark David Chapman assassination of John Lennon is not probably what's happening most of the time in these relationships, but it's
related.
Yeah, it touches upon it a little bit, I think, but I might be wrong.
It can be like that. It can be a politician. It could be, who was it? Was it Larry David who's had like 13 different instances where people broke into his home?
I mean, yeah, probably, yeah.
It happens to YouTubers. I remember Jenna and Julian Solomita, they had multiple times had people just show up at their house, break into their house. So it can get to that point, but it doesn't always start there, obviously. And it's just like to show you the scope of any public figure can be affected by this. But I think, like you touched upon it, and it's interesting, modern day social media with live streaming and YouTube and Discord really kicks it up to another level, because the idea of community is so much more encouraged and so much more, it's utilized so much more than back in the day. Like Marilyn Monroe didn't have a Discord server where she was like doing exclusive streams for her fans.
I think it's very, this phenomenon, especially even in modern day, it's a lot more with content creators, because even A-list celebrities today, they don't have Discord servers and whatnot. They're not engaging with fans the same way creators are, and that creators are encouraged to, because obviously building community is so important to, I mean, we do it on this podcast. Yeah. We say, I even use the word community often when I refer to like the Patreon. I say, talk to people in the community and stuff like that. And of course, community is important, and it's a big part of any sort of, I guess, digital content creator's life, or what they would hope for a successful life. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that there's a, it's bad to have a community, but I think that's, it, it makes things blurry at times. And the involvement of the creator in it can get, can make things a little bit more difficult.
Totally.
For both parties involved too. As always, we do discuss taboo topics on this podcast. And this is one of those difficult ones because it really, there's levels of, in a way, hypocrisy on the creator's end, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're encouraged to foster a community, to foster relationships with your viewers. I mean, you'll have so many, you probably have done this in your videos, right? Hi, friends, or like, you know, you refer to the, your viewers as friends.
Yeah.
And then the title of this video and these other videos are, we are not your friends.
Right.
But I mean, that's why that, it's that strange juxtaposition that just makes it a very gray topic to dive into.
Speaking from my own experience, I'd say there's different levels. I think different platforms have different levels of parasocial possibility and where those lines get blurred. For example, Twitch and Discord, I think, are the highest levels of parasocial activity and sometimes really blurred lines, honestly.
Totally.
And I think this topic is really important because I've learned lessons myself about this because I'm not a big creator. I'm a relatively small creator. I mean, both of us, honestly, we, you know, we don't have millions and millions of subscribers. When we're live streaming on Twitch, for example, like my Twitch stream is pretty small. It's probably, I mean, compared to other people, it's like max 20 people, I'd say. But on average, it's like 11 to 15 people. And that's, I'm still really grateful for those people that show up. But, you know, to have 15 people even that are all together watching my stream live in their home or wherever they're watching or on their phone, that's something I don't think about all that often. But I'm like, wow, these people are, you know, hanging out with me and we're talking live. I'm either playing a video game or we're watching something on YouTube. And you start to notice the people that come more often, naturally.
Yeah.
You know, like the people that are constantly engaging in chat, the people who are your moderators.
Yeah.
The people who show up and, you know, support you. It's like there's an emotional level of connection there because especially on a small creator level, like there's not that many people. It's not like we have a wave of chats, you know, filling like someone like Hassan or like Ludwig or like any, I mean, Amaranth, any huge creator who has just walls of tech, you know? And so it's different, but there is still a dynamic there that
absolutely,
in this case, to answer the question at the top of the episode, we are responsible for. We are responsible for withholding boundaries and cultivating a space where people feel safe, but they don't feel like you owe them anything.
Yeah.
But which I get, I feel like I get hung up on that stuff way more than you do.
I mean, I've certainly, you know, made mistakes myself in setting boundaries. And I think for people that have watched when I was streaming, I don't stream anymore really. But when I was lucky enough to have a bit of a bigger viewership than Merle just because I had been cultivating a lot throughout the pandemic, whereas you didn't really start till the end of the pandemic. But
you don't have to tell me why mine wasn't a thing.
I'm just saying.
That's sweet.
Yeah, but
that's why. That's definitely why.
But anyways, I had a larger audience. I would say like at my peak of when I was regularly streaming, I probably had, it would be up to like 100 to 150.
Sometimes you'd have over 100. Yeah.
Yeah. And even when I started doing less, it'd be around like 50 to 60. But anyways, my personality, I think actually, and I was talking about this with our friend Matt, is that when I was in BuzzFeed content or making content for like the BuzzFeed Unsolved Network, I was a very restrained version of myself, depending on the type of content. Yeah, I mean, of course, like if you think about it, like all the investigative work I did, I was never going to be like super chaotic
true.
Like that.
And sometimes you were crazy in videos, but I see
some,
what you're saying.
Some of my early BuzzFeed videos.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when I was starting to do more of like serious work, which I'm still passionate about, of course, I'm not going to be kind of my unhinged self. So my stream personality, when I was live on stream, almost on a daily basis, or at least a few times a week, that was probably the closest to my normal kind of like chaotic everyday self. And so therefore my chat and my community, I love them dearly, but there was always, it was always very chaotic.
It was still cranked up from your day-to-day life, though.
Yeah, of course. You always, and that's the thing too, right? When you're performing, you're trying to entertain. So I'm obviously not that wild, crazy guy that was on stream. Not that I was also crazy, but I was, you know, I was just having fun, being silly. You know,
it was fun to watch for me because I'm like, you're not always this dialed up.
That's true. You made comments about that. But anyways, that was the closest I was to being myself in a way. But so it was like, it was a dialed up version of who I am, whereas BuzzFeed was like a dialed down version of who I was. And me, myself, I'm also, I self-deprecate a lot and whatnot. And so there was always, in the community, there was a lot of banter within the community and a lot of ribbing and stuff like that. But then there were certain points where I would think, okay, all right, you know, like, you know me, but you don't know me that well. You can't be saying some of the things you're saying to me, you know? Like, you don't actually know me. The other parasocial thing that sticks to my mind as far as my experience with it, it pertains to us, is the fact that since we're in a relationship And this is part of the reason why we stopped making content together for a while. But when we were making content together for a while, I think a lot of people were projecting a lot of their hopes for us, and they were just making these fantasies in their heads for what our life would be together. So, you know, I would get messages from people saying, when are you going to pop the question?
Oh my God.
And I remember there's one instance that sticks out in my mind. And this was the point where I was like, I actually messaged this person back because I was so annoyed. There was a period 2 years ago in 2022 when I was traveling a lot to do content. I was making my dark travel content for my YouTube channel. I think I made a tweet or something about how, oh, I'm going to be going to Romania or France. And I was like, I'm excited. Let me know if you have any like stories you want me to cover. And then someone DM'd me saying, well, you know, you better be careful with your travels. You shouldn't let it impact your relationship with Merle. You know, I was like, why am I getting relationship advice from this random? It's like, please.
I totally get that. But I also think to myself, it's like we put ourselves in this position.
That's the thing. That's why I do acknowledge like we are responsible and there is a hypocrisy to everything we're saying. That's, yeah. Again, this is why it's such a complicated and nuanced topic.
It's tough. I think it's when you get stuff like that, it's annoying. Maybe especially if it's someone you're familiar with through your content. If it's some random person, then it's like, okay, I'm whatever. But if it's someone who kind of follows along with you and you see them in streams or you see them in the comment section on your videos on YouTube or whatever, then you're like, oh, sometimes they can make you actually think. You're like, should I feel bad? And then you're like, wait, why is this person that I've never met like impacting me? Why are they making me feel guilty right now? You know what I mean? Because after a while, when you're especially, I keep bringing it back to live streaming, but that's because whenever I'm streaming on Twitch, I start talking about just what's going on in my life. And what's going on in my day. So sometimes people in my Twitch streams know more about the day-to-day life than like my friends.
Yeah.
Because I'm not somebody who generally, you know, calls and vents about my day or like texts someone everything that happens to me the day. But when you're on a live stream, there's only so much you can talk about. I mean, you're filling a silence while you're playing a game or you're doing something. So I'll start talking about gifts I got for the holidays, or I'll talk about, you know, some of my aspirations,
something
my
that's
goals,
stressing you out.
Something that's stressing me out that day. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'm opening myself up, which is not abnormal for the kind of content that I do, because I tend to open myself up on my YouTube channel as well, but it's not live. So there's something about when you're live and you're reading people who are responding to you in Twitch, and it's like they're consoling me, you know, and they're supporting me genuinely. Sometimes I would go on live streams when I felt sad because I just wanted to like hang out instead of, you know, I didn't want to, I don't know what, why, but I would just be like, instead of going and meeting up with someone, I'm going to go on stream and I'm just going to play a game and I'm going to hang out with people there and just chat. And I don't know if that's good or that's bad. I don't know what that means, you know, but that's just a fact. I mean, and that's where it's my responsibility to be like, okay, how emotionally dependent am I also on these people, you know, because it's not their responsibility to make me feel better. And it's not their job to be there whenever I go live. You know, they have their own lives. So I try to keep myself humble in the face of having any sort of following, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm not saying I'm a big creator because I don't think I am, but I have like 140,000 subscribers on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. So even though I would never call myself a celebrity, I would still say, you know, occasionally people will recognize me out when I'm out in life. And like if I'm with friends, they're like, oh my God, you're famous. And I'm like, no, not really, but just in this like one specific area of the internet. And that inherently gives me some kind of influence, I guess. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like with that comes up bit of a power, I guess. Now when I meet people, if they look at my Instagram or they look at my YouTube, they're like, oh my God, why didn't you tell me you had followers? And I'm like, because I don't really want you to know that and think that right away when you meet me. Mm-hmm. And B, I'm trying to remain the exact same I was before I had those followers and subscribers. You know what I mean? Like I want to continue to be a normal person. And that's even with my small following. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I want to try to keep my life as normal as possible. Now, where I have made mistakes or where I've learned is that sometimes with my own community, I kind of forget that influence that I have, you know? Like in the past, people that were longtime subscribers or longtime community members or whatever would be like, I'm going to be in LA. And I think like two times I've met up with people. And when I was doing it, I was like, first, I always think about my own personal safety because it's like, even if you've been talking to someone for over a year online, you know, you can never be too safe. But I think I've also tried to remain aware of the dynamic that's mm-hmm. really actually there. No matter how much I want to be just like everyone, you know, I have to remember like this person follows me. So you're automatically starting the relationship in a different place than you would just from someone who met you randomly. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so
there's a power dynamic.
There's a power dynamic there for, lack of better explanation. And therefore, it's not totally fair to the other person.
Yeah.
I don't think.
As much as they would love to see you, it's like something that's just...
I've done it there. In the past, and I was glad that I did it at the time. It was really nice to meet people. But then the problem with that was, even though it's like when I met these people, I was like, I should probably pay for like this meal. I should probably pay for these drinks because first of all, these people, some of them subscribe to me. I'm like, they already are giving me money. And then I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Like, is this weird? Is this a service I'm providing or is this just a hangout?
An exclusive perk to be a subscriber of Merle's. She'll buy you drinks.
But that's like so bad. Yeah, so I'm like, obviously. And then it's like even drinking with someone, I'm like, that's also irresponsible because then it's like, you're not all there. Like, and there, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to make this any more imbalanced and unfair to the other person than it's just not, it's a messy, icky thing to do. And I think at the on my part, I'm saying, and at the time, I'm still thinking to myself, I'm like, I'm not a celebrity. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not that big of a deal. So like, I'm just the person hanging out. But then the reality sets in. It's like, no matter how much you feel that way, you do have a responsibility. There is a dynamic. Whether or not either one of you wants the dynamic to be there, it's there. And it's not fair. And that is my responsibility. So all of this to say, I'm glad I did that because I learned from it. And I'm glad I met those people because I do value them and I do appreciate them. And it is cool to meet people that like the stuff you do. And that you just get to know people beyond a screen, right? I will say after doing that, I did think to myself, okay, I need to stop doing this because it just doesn't feel 110% right. As much as I would love to be able to have like an IRL friendship with these people, where does it stop? Do I meet with every single person
exactly.
that's in LA?
It sets a precedent.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the other problem. I mean, if you made a genuine friend through someone who was following you.
Yeah.
So it does happen. But then
other people may have that expectation.
Other people have that expectation. And it's kind of like, it's really gray. Yeah, it's a really absolutely. Gray area because then people find out that I met up with these people and they're like, well, what about me? Why wouldn't
I? Especially in a smaller community too.
Especially in a smaller community. I mean, you're going to talk about it on stream. You're going to
met up with so-and-so.
I met up with so-and-so, which again, people do meetups. So.
Exactly. And I want to point that out. I think there is a difference for creators. You and I did one meetup in Singapore and then I did one on my own in the Philippines. And I think a meetup, which other creators obviously do on a regular basis, somewhat regular, I don't know, whatever. People do them. I think that's different because there's an expectation there that it's just you're there to see the creator and everyone's going to hopefully get some sort of like equivalent amount of time to chat and just there's more of a focus and an intention for that. There's an expectation for that. That you're just kind of there to meet the creator, maybe take some pictures, chat a little bit. But if you're like, if you're meeting with one of them one-on-one, I don't know. It's just.
Well, in these cases for me, it was also it's like people, you know, it's not someone that just joined.
Of course.
You know, but then I also have to think to myself if they listen to this, I don't want them to feel bad. No. I have that in my mind because I'm like, I did enjoy hanging out. But then I just part of me there. You have to follow your gut. And part of me was like, even if you had a good time, everybody else is now going to expect that if they're in LA, you're going to meet up with them.
Yeah.
And I have to be the one that calls the shots. It's awkward. Honestly, it's an awkward thing to talk
about.
This
whole topic is awkward, you know?
Yeah.
I think broadly speaking, there's no real answer to any of these questions in the sense that, like, is there a solution? Parasocial relationships, it's there. It's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be there. And so it's just how do you handle it as the creator and as the viewer, too? Like, how can you manage your expectations of the relationship?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a murky one. But, yeah, I agree that I think, especially with Discord and Twitch streaming, like, those two are particularly... I mean, the relationships, the parasocial relationships that are built there are... It feels a lot more intense than even like a YouTuber
sure.
with their audience, because I think the ephemeral nature of Twitch when you're making these real time interactions, I think just it fosters that community and relationship a lot.
And
faster.
There's much more of a monetary element to Twitch than there is with YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, YouTube, you can go live on YouTube too, but just live streaming in general. And we both were doing it on Twitch. It's like people subscribe to you. So they're paying monthly for a membership, right?
Yeah.
And so then there's just that dynamic as well. It's like, okay, these people are paying you. And I think everybody, you know, has to come to their own conclusions, what their boundaries are and where they land. But I will say, I do think the responsibility is in the creator to the best of your ability, at least for a small creator. you know, being like, oh, you're part of the family. I don't think there's necessarily something wrong with saying, you know, you're part of the family, but being clear and transparent with people that ultimately you're just a resource for information or entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's what we are at the end of the day. I mean, I'm in my Discord typing away, talking to people almost every day. And when I miss a day, I feel bad. And that's a problem too, because I'm like, it's a lot of people to feel responsible for. Because then even in my day-to-day life, I don't feel like I text enough or I call enough with people, my family and my friends I've known forever. So it's just, it's a blessing. I feel so fortunate for the community that I do have. My biggest hope is that I can come in whenever I can, which I try to as often as I can, but that other people will bond with each other over the interests that that they have in common, you know, through my content.
100%. Because I'm the same way. I mean, I am so grateful for my community, for my Discord server, for the people who have watched me both streaming and my just content that was non-streaming based. And that's not to say that I don't cherish the memories we've made together and will make together, but yeah, I can't stress enough again that I come from also a place where I grew up on online forums, so I totally get the appeal and the importance of online communities and online friendships, making my Discord server as vibrant as it was during COVID. Having that Discord server, building our community, and the very real memories and relationships we fostered in there, that was like probably the proudest thing for me during COVID, you know, just having those streams, going back to on the Discord server, like laughing about things, like those are all very real things. And while what I'm saying here today isn't saying like that's all wasn't real, but I think I'm just saying that there sometimes needs to be boundaries that have to be set, and that is on the creator's side to, and I didn't do a very good job of it. But
neither did I.
That said, I can't say enough how I also am very grateful for my community and how, I mean, grateful I am for online friendships too. I've talked about it in the past. I grew up on online forums. I made many IRL friends through being online friends. First, my second girlfriend, I met her on a forum. And, you know, then we met up in person, et cetera. Then we dated for 3 years. So, you know, I get it. Online friendships, online relationships, important and real. But then this is where it gets murky, right? Like, how real is it when it comes to that relationship you have with a creator and someone you follow?
Something I liked in the Ludwig video is the truth is it is totally natural to feel connected to a content creator or anything. I mean, a book. I think about a really good book. I never want the book to end because I love the world that I'm living in and I love the characters that I've become attached to. And then when that book ends, you're like, oh, man, I don't want to be taken out of this world. I don't want to be... You know, I'm going to miss these people. I'm going to miss these characters. It's not any different, really, except for the fact that the entertainment in this case is real people, real human beings who are sharing varying degrees of their lives. You know, for some people that are like vlogging, you're sometimes you're showing really intimate parts of their life. Some people show, you know, pregnancy struggles or couples share relationship troubles. Mm-hmm. So you're getting these parts of people's lives and you feel like you're a part of their life, and to a weird degree you are, because you're part of how they can be a content creator in the first place. It's entertainment. I mean, it's a distraction, which I'm not saying a distraction is bad. There are some creators that I am so invested in myself, like I love their videos, I look forward to, I tend to just like stick to the same few that I like to watch. I love YouTube as a whole, but you know, you can't help but get a little bit attached to the people in front of the camera, behind the screen. Being someone who does that, I also know how it feels, because I'm a fan of people myself. You know, it's really interesting, but again, what I'm trying to say is it's natural. And it's normal. I mean, think of TV show characters.
Well, that's also a point that Ludwig made, which I also, I think it makes perfect sense, was he was talking about how, you know, it's like when you're watching Mad Men is the example he used. Don Draper, he's not your friend, you know, he's entertainment for you. But of course, it's different when you're watching like a streamer or a YouTuber you're actually interacting with. Yes, Don Draper isn't, you know, messaging you back or shouting out your subscription and everything on Twitch. But it's the same sort of thing to an extent, right? Even I touched upon it earlier. When I was on stream, it was still a character to an extent, right? I mean, I was not that same guy. I'm not that guy. I was on stream 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so you're playing a character, give and take. And so it's performative and it's entertainment. And there's only so far that entertainment actually becomes like a real, I don't know.
Well, but it can happen. I mean, for example, when my stepdad went missing, like I remember there was a day I just played a game like for like 13 hours and I was just on stream. And I was just like, I'm just gonna like be here on stream interact with people, the amount that I'm comfortable with. I just need to be totally distracted from life. So the distraction is on the creator's end as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And it genuinely helped me. Like, I will never be able to express how helpful that was, because even though I wasn't talking about what I was going through, people knew. And I think there is something really beautiful there, right? Like, there's something that's nice about having that as a resource, as long as both parties understand what's going on, you know? It's there is something human to it. It's humans on either side of the screen. So it's not to say, like, it's just entertainment and we're not real, because we are, and we are human, and we do go through things, and we do share some of it. I made a YouTube video about it because I wanted people to know what was going on with me and why I might be not posting as regularly for a little bit. So it's a little more complicated than a TV show. I know Ludwig was like, you know, if the show gets weird and the seasons get strange and they lose the plot, then stop watching, stop subscribing. And I stand by that. You don't owe me anything. You don't owe Aria anything. If we're having a tough time in life or a bad day, you don't owe us to show up at stream. I try to tell, like, moderators that too, because there's another element. Moderators are just helping you out.
Yeah, volunteers.
Volunteering to be there to help you for streams out of the goodness of their hearts. And I mean, that's a selfless thing to do.
Yeah.
But I try to, you know, sometimes people be like, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'm like, never have to make it.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I can stress that, like, you never have to be there. You have your own life. I don't even have a consistent schedule. So,
yeah,
you know, this is my responsibility. But, you know, it's nice that people do that. It's nice that people want to do that, you know?
Yeah. And I, like I said myself, all those memories that you make on stream, the bond, like all that sort of stuff, like how much it meant to you to have that community there for you during that period, like, it's all real.
Yeah,
you know,
it was real.
All the, like, the memories I made when I was doing, like, subathons and stuff like that. All those things were, like, the fun things we got up to. Like, they were never not real. But I guess at the end of the day, when it comes to parasocial relationships, it's about just awareness, maybe on both ends,
mm-hmm.
right? On the viewer side, and to be aware that, you know, there is only so far this relationship can go.
Mm-hmm.
But then also on the creator to maybe enforce more boundaries. I mean, like I said, I certainly could have done better on my end. But, you know, it's all very, it's a complicated topic.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's not just on the viewers. I think that's really important because I've recognized in myself, you know, sometimes when I notice certain people that used to be at, like, every stream don't show up, I wonder, I'm like, are they okay? You know, like, where are they? Like, I wonder, or if they were having a hard time and then I don't hear from them in the Discord or whatever. I'm like, I hope they're okay. I hope, like, everything's all right. But I'm like, I can't reach out. I shouldn't probably reach out because it's none of my business what they're up to. You know, I get sometimes too invested and I worry. And I realize, like, that's why sometimes I find myself pulling back a little bit, because I'm like, you can't worry about every single person that shows up in this community individually. You can just do your best. And I try. It's a line, though. It's a dance.
Yeah.
Because I do care. They're real people.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And we do share memories, like you said. So I think, honestly, I think for smaller creators, it's more intense.
For sure.
Because
I can see that,
it's a smaller crowd. Granted, you know, like, we're not like Pokimane where we're going to have, like, somebody or like Jenna Julian where people are, like, you know, trying to find out where we, well, I shouldn't even say that out loud, knock on wood, but just, you know, not like extreme stalking. We haven't experienced that.
Yeah.
Thank God, knock on wood again. But, you know, with bigger creators, they can get into more scary stuff. People get doxxed.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. That's a huge invasion of privacy. Ultimately, this is all new. Technology has evolved so quickly. We're not really prepared for this level of intimacy and performance.
Yeah.
It's a weird combination, and we're just figuring it out as we go. And doing our best, right?
I mean, even just talking about it today, I feel like I'm unpacking things in my head that I hadn't even really thought about.
I'm continuing to learn the lesson, but it ultimately for me too is like, if I decide to stream and like two people show up, I have no right to be mad. Like, you know, they don't owe me anything. I'm providing a service. I'm providing a form of entertainment ultimately, right? Yeah. If my videos start performing really badly, I could get mad that, you know, maybe 10,000 less views happened. But really, it's on. I mean, I can only control what I can control.
Yeah. That's the truth for most of life.
For everything.
Yeah.
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 So, but there is a reliance on our part on them and a reliance of the viewers on us.
Which I guess ties into the question we had at the top of the episode, which is, are some content creators potentially exploiting the parasocial element for monetary gain? And I don't know. In a weird way, it's inherently built into the way you monetize as a creator. I don't know. I'm sure there are some that are like specifically really exploiting that element. The tricky answer is that I think most creators that are monetizing in a way are exploiting that relationship, whether they're doing it consciously or not, right? Mm. When you're saying, even going into a video saying, hey, friends, or I love you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like you're...
Like, do you really love them?
No. I mean, like...
Do you really know them?
I love the community I've built.
Me too.
Yeah. But you, yeah. You know what I mean? And it may not even be done in a way that's... They're not doing it to like maliciously thinking that they're doing it. That's just maybe their sign off or the way they sign into a video.
Right.
But that sort of stuff, I mean, it has an impact on people. And then that can then lead to building a community that will like be, okay, well, we're friends.
Well, it's like Ariana Grande, you know, she'll tweet out like, I love you.
People do that, right? I mean, a lot of creators do.
Yeah.
Love you. Thank you for all the support.
Yeah, I love you guys. You know, I've said that so many times.
Yeah.
But I've also said that to people in real life. Been like someone says love you. I'm like, love you too. Interesting. When do I use that word?
Yeah.
How am I using that word? And the truth is because... At least in my case and probably in yours, it's like we are so grateful that we get to do this for a living. And there is almost no way to talk about it without feeling like you don't appreciate it or that
I
you
know,
like.
It's difficult for me.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, because genuinely like viewers and support and community is what makes it possible for us to do this as a living. Mm-hmm. And it's what we love to do. So it's not that we don't appreciate the people that follow us. Of course we do. But we can't possibly know every single person, truly know them. Like, we can't. It's actually impossible.
Yeah.
You know? All we can do is show our appreciation. And honestly, on my end, I plan to continue streaming and continue interacting with people in my community. I just need to be realistic with myself on what I'm able to commit to. And if people just disappear, they're allowed to do that, you know? On both sides, we're both allowed to disappear. It's business, kind of. In a way, like, you know, if somebody's literally paying monthly subscriptions and I'm not even streaming, I don't blame them. Even if I am streaming and they're like, you know what, I'm just not feeling it anymore. I can't make these anymore. Okay.
I think that's what it is for me too. I mean, I'm not streaming regularly anymore or making content really outside of, you know, this channel and my fit checks on Instagram. Mm. But outside of those, you know, I'm not making content, but, you know, I'm still a part of my Discord server. I check in every day. You know, obviously it's less active now that I'm not streaming or making content regularly. But I think that I've been more conscious for the past year or so of, like, you know, just the things I say. And I will still say the occasional unhinged thing because that's just who I am. But, you know, I am a little bit more conscious about it, about setting boundaries and that kind of thing. But it's a learning process, I think, for both ends.
Yeah. I mean, and having been someone who is both the content creator and also the viewer, I know how both sides feel because I've also found myself at times every day watching the VODs or the streams of certain content creators. And I'm like, wow, I look forward to seeing this person, you know, or this community is great. And I think that's kind of where the solution to this all lands is cultivating a safe space for a community to form where you, I want to say you are not the center of it, but that's kind of impossible. But basically that this community, people show up here, not just because they hope to talk to you, but because they actually develop friendships and connections with other people that have similar interests that they do. You know, I think that's kind of the dream that I feel fortunate that we live in a day and age where we can interact with followers or fans or community members, however you want to refer to people. I feel grateful. I feel grateful when we can do meetups and when we can meet people. It's so fun and it's so cool. We were so nervous.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like we were more nervous. At least I was more nervous than anybody.
I mean, it's
you don't want to be a disappointment.
I'm so grateful. I mean, to have people come to a place just to meet up with you, that's so cool. And even the people that want to hang out with you one-on-one, that, I mean, it still means a lot.
That's why I did it.
It's flattering, but, you know, yeah, I think it's just,
it's flattering, and I'm glad that I did it, and I'm glad that I learned from it, and I would not change it. I'm actually really happy I got to meet those people, because truthfully, like, I play games with those people. I still do voice, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a lot of friends in real life that play video games.
Yeah,
this guy's so freaking reliable, and Maddie never. Actually, Maddie's the only one who's reliable. Jack is useless. He never responds to the group text. So the people in my Discord, they'll show up and show out, and I'm like, otherwise, I don't have anyone to play these multiplayer games with anyway. And honestly, they're more engaged than you guys are most of the time. So.
Well, I don't even play very many games anymore. But yeah
I know. So I never want to stop doing that. I think it's just a matter of recognizing my responsibility.
Yeah.
Moving forward. And that's not to say I'll never meet up with people again, but probably in a more like group meetup.
In a group setting.
Thing.
I think that's different.
Also for the protection of both people, like just for the emotional security and safety of both parties involved. I never want to make life more complicated for anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Clark Eleason had a really great quote by this guy, Guy Debord. Guy Debord. I don't know. He pronounced his name.
How'd you say it like that?
He pronounced his name like that when he was.
Oh, really? He pronounced it like that? Well, I guess so that's how he pronounced it.
I don't think he pronounced it just like that. I think I fucked that up. But it was something fancier.
You sound like the Swedish chef.
Gui. Anyway, this guy Gui or Guy said, "Oh, Gui,
Gui, because in French it would be Gui." Yeah.
Okay, Guy Debord,
Debord. The way it's spelled like that, yeah.
Let's just get to the quote. He said about creators: the more his life is now his product, the more he separated from his life. And I think there's some.
I mean, I get it.
It's like a fake introspection.
I'm more like, okay.
I mean, that's like the content creation thing. It's like on my side, when we were talking about like how much we, you know, it's like, it's just entertainment. It's just this. But it's like, sometimes I'm like repotting my plants. I'm like, I'm going to make a vlog about this. Mm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. When you get too hung up on making content out of everything.
Yeah, about everything. Yeah. So there's just like, I think, again, social media is still so new. In the grand scheme of things,
yeah,
that we're all just figuring out how to do the life balance. I stayed in this New Year's Eve and made a and shot a video. I also played Baldur's Gate, but I didn't go out. I didn't really want to go out. I was like, I'm getting ready for a trip. I'm gonna block shoot. So sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I question my life work balance. It just so happens that we both work from home. We are content creators. I'm a lifestyle content creator for the most part, honestly. And we also have like communities that we're a part of. And I think there's something really beautiful about that. And I'm grateful to be alive at this time when we can cultivate community in a safe space. Okay, the last question about like how dangerous can parasocial relationships get. I think on both sides, the effect can be detrimental to people's mental health, both mm-hmm. the creators and the viewers. Mm-hmm. You know, viewers can feel unappreciated, misunderstood, they feel lonely sometimes. They're like, what the heck? I'm investing money. I'm investing time and energy into this creator. And they don't even, when I really need them, they don't show up or they don't respond to my DM.
Dr. K was talking about how he says he's seen parasocial relationships lead to the ends of marriages, to incel them and stuff. You know, that's according to Dr. K. And I mean, I could see that. Like, let's say, and this is extreme examples, of course, but you might have someone who has a very, very, like a viewer who's just built this relationship in their head with a specific creator that they really like, that they neglect their relationship, for example. Who knows? You know, I mean, they put all their money into it, you know, just like sending money to this creator that, you know, ultimately doesn't feel the same way, of course, because it's just a viewer to them. But, you know, that's why I think it's awareness on both ends is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, it's not just Twitch and YouTube, it's OnlyFans. You know, there's other levels there where there's a sexual element. And I'm not saying anything against OnlyFans. I support.
Love sex work.
Love sex work. Support it 125%. Think it should be legal. But that's a different episode. But it can also become dangerous because when you're a content creator and you are the show, so to speak, you're treated as a spectacle. I saw that word a lot when I was watching other videos about parasocial relationships. At least for me, I read as almost every single comment I get on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I read all of the comments. I don't always respond to everyone. I try to respond to as many as I can. And most of the time, people are great. Most of the time, people are so uplifting. In fact, I'm almost shocked how kind people are at large, you know, behind the anonymity of the screen. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, there's a bad apple that sneaks in and they say things because they're behind a screen and because they don't think it matters. And it hurts. You know, people comment on your appearance. People comment on your age. People ask me if I'm pregnant, if like my stomach is showing. Even on the podcast occasionally, you know, any relationship episodes.
Oh man, when we did the episode about open relationships and we even talked about us even entertaining the idea of an open relationship, some of the reactions I think were a little extreme, to say the least.
The vitriol was spewed, particularly in my direction, commenting on my sexuality, that I'm confused, commenting that I don't actually want to be in this relationship, that you can see there's no love here. Mm-hmm. Saying that we should just break up already. I stopped reading the comments on that one. Again, this is, you know, not the norm. Community here is fantastic for the most part, but of course we're doing controversial topics.
That is, so, again, so that's the part of the thing where it's like it's our responsibility too. You know, we chose to do a podcast about taboo topics instead of one about Animal Movies. Crossing.
Yeah, Animal Crossing.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been fun, though, honestly. I just hate Rocket. That would be every episode. Fuck Rocket. Rocket sucks. Anyway, in that case, that's where it can get dangerous for the content creator. Because, like, for me, I remember that day you were like, stop reading the comments. Like, I'm watching it affect you.
Yeah.
You got to stop reading the comments. And it was painful. I mean, it does hurt, even though we agree to this by being public facing people to an extent. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So you got to protect your mental health as a content creator. Protect your mental health as a human being on this planet. But I just know when to step back now. That's what I do. When it looks like it's taken a negative, toxic turn, you don't need to read them all. You know? Ultimately, I think the takeaway, again, as someone who considers themselves to be a content creator, but also a viewer and a consumer of content creation and a fan myself as well of people, I try to recognize the times where I'm hyper fixating on a specific creator and just be like, okay, that's fine. You're enjoying their content. You know, you're having a good time. I know how it feels to feel giddy when someone responds to you when you type in their chat. I totally get that. But at a certain point, I have to remind myself like, oh, they don't owe me a thing, you know, and I don't owe them anything. If I don't subscribe that month, that's fine. Like, that's my choice. And they don't owe me showing up for stream every week. That's their choice. I think that's on both sides something to remember. Ultimately, my goal is create a community where there's a safe space for people and they feel supported within reason to the best of everybody's abilities. And they also know they can leave at any time. They get what they want there. They treat people with respect. And then they can leave whenever they feel. They don't feel any obligation to me or to anyone. Just put yourself first and be a good person and hopefully make some friends, right?
Very wonderfully said. I appreciate everyone that listens to this podcast and that has supported us throughout our relationship and the content we've made both together and individually. This everything we've covered today, it's a tricky topic, and that's why I even feel bad to an extent, because I don't want anyone listening to this to feel bad or to feel like we don't appreciate, you know, everything that has come our way because of your support. It's just a tricky situation, a tricky topic to kind of navigate. And it's one that I think is important to talk about for both of us. You know, for us, if we want to continue making content together, you know, we want to be able to set boundaries so that way, you know, we can make topics about things like open relationships without potentially getting as much, you know, vitriol thrown our way from certain people. But also for people that enjoy watching our streams or enjoy, well, not that I stream, but, you know, that enjoy watching our content, you know, that way you can have healthy expectations from the content and entertainment you're getting from us too. Mm-hmm. And all this to also say that our communities, our Discord servers, we're still so proud to be a part of them. We're happy to continue doing what we're doing. We're not going to change anything, but it's just something that hopefully by talking about it makes people watching more cognizant, and as well as us. But I think by talking it out, bringing it into the light, us talking about it will hopefully help remind ourselves what we need to do to, you know, self-awareness, like I said. I think awareness in general on both sides, it can make for parasocial relationships to be as healthy as they can be, because like I said, they're always going
to
be there.
And I think it's important to make the distinction of, like, you know, for example, we've both made friends through online communities.
Yeah.
And that's not to take away from people in the Discord that I can now consider friends. Sometimes that can happen organically. Sometimes a true friendship can develop.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can move beyond just the follower, content creator.
Totally.
But you can't expect it. That's you can't what it is, go in. You can't pay for it. You can't force it. You can't. You just can't. I mean, that's the toughest thing. Is like,
it is.
You can't go into it with the expectation that if I'm a subscriber for long enough, we're going to become friends in real life.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do my best on my end to facilitate a safe space for people so that those lines aren't blurred. People aren't disappointed. People aren't, you know, feeling like they've been like bamboozled.
Wasting
their money. Conned in any way. And I want to say this because I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Any of my interactions with people are 100% genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Any of, you know, the interactions that I have with people, whether it's in the comment section of my videos, whether it's on my Twitch streams, whether it's in my Discord, they're real. I love them. I mean that. And I appreciate them. They are valuable to my life. Like, it brings me joy. I think the bottom line is I can't possibly be the best friend I could be to every single person that reaches out to me. I wish I could. I wish we had the capability, maybe with AI someday, we'll be like her, movie Her, you know, when she has like multiple relationships going on at the same time and she's like traveling through dimensions. We're just not there yet. So, you know, just know I appreciate you. We both really appreciate you guys. Bottom line is Thank you for listening. Hope we haven't hurt any feelings. Hope that this transparency leads to nothing but better understanding. And hopefully it was just, if anything, really interesting, because that's how it was for me.
It's fascinating for me, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fascinating and cool to think about, honestly. So hopefully we do see you guys in the comments or in the Discord.
Let us know your thoughts. Let us know. Yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback on this one. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please make sure to do so. Leave a like, leave a comment. We also are always available on our social platforms, which are linked below in case you want to, you know, follow on our day-to-day over there. But either way, just know we do appreciate you tremendously.
And let us know what your thoughts are, because honestly, I think this episode's particularly percolating in my brain. I'm like, whoa, this one is a good one.
We'd love to continue the discourse in the comments, in the chat. Yeah. So,
let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you totally hate us now.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know if you think that we're scam artists. If that was your takeaway from this, you're like, what the hell? What? This, what? What? I don't understand. Let us know. If you agree, let us know. Especially if you agree, actually, let us know.
All right. Well, until then, we appreciate you all.